I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about demons. Woohoo, here we go. They're all over Mark's gospel. It's one of the great themes of Mark's gospel. We heard a couple of Mark's great themes this morning in the gospel reading. We have the messianic secret where the demons are, you know, told not to tell people who Jesus is. I'm going to leave that whole question for another day. That's a sermon of its own. But what I want to focus on is that in Mark, it's very important in the Jesus story to understand that his ministry was largely a matter of healing the sick and casting out demons. That's what he came to do. And so we have this as part of our understanding of who Jesus is, what God was doing through Jesus, and at some level, what we are about as a faith community. And so at some level, we say that that our faith itself is about the healing of humanity and the casting out of our demons. Now, there is a literal and a figurative meaning for these themes. Literally, I actually am somewhat of the view that there were literal healings and casting out of demons, or maybe healing of mental illnesses, that Jesus did as part of his ministry. We have no reason to believe that Jesus did not have supernatural healing abilities. So I'm actually okay with some literal understanding. Don't push me on any particular verse, whether that literally happened or not, the way it's said. But I think in general that if I got into a time machine and went back to the time of Jesus, there would have been some miraculous healings and clarity of mind that emerged as part of Jesus' ministry as a result of laying on of hands, praying, or just happened around him. You know, you have that great story of the just touching his robe and then all of a sudden she was healed. So I do think there's a literal ground for the metaphor. It's not an either or, is really what I'm trying to get at. It's not, and this is a broader point for me, you don't have to choose between the literal and the metaphorical meanings of the scripture and of the tradition, because both can be present in some form. So because the energy in my sermon and in my interpretation is more on the metaphorical side, please don't think that I am dismissing the literal, because I think there's something there. Now, that having been said, the metaphor of healing the sick and casting out demons is a very rich metaphor that I carry with me a lot. And, you know, as I was struggling, I really was struggling with these readings this week to find some place of connection in my own experience. I mean, I don't go around casting out demons in my everyday, you know, work. And then I thought to myself, Chris, you idiot, you just fought with an insurance company for 8 years. And it's funny, but it's true. So what are the demonic powers that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, as it says in our baptismal rite? You know, we baptize people and we make these promises and we turn away from the powers of evil that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, and we turn towards Jesus as our personal Savior. That is the movement of Christianity, is away from these corrupting powers, these demonic powers, and towards the power of light and goodness. And so that really is the living metaphor of demonic powers that I actually live with all the time. And I think of them as systemic features. That when you have systemic features of companies or communities or societies or cultures or whatever, you know, I hesitate because my physics is very, very weak, but it's a bit like an emergent property. It doesn't show up amongst two people, but when you get 20 people together, there's a culture. And there's a kind of web of interactions that takes a shape, and that shape has its own energy and its own perils. And those perils emerge in the system, and they're bigger than any one individual. And they exercise control over the individuals within the system. So you talk about, you know, contemporary conversations about patriarchy, for example. That our entire society was governed by a set of assumptions and expectations that are rooted in maybe biology, maybe history, maybe whatever. But they created a system that was not great for about 50% of the population. And so it became a power bigger than any individual man, for example, but it still affects all of us negatively. And so we have to name it, we have to identify it, we have to identify the ways in which patriarchy destroys both men and women and become free of it. So whether it's a social issue like patriarchy, it could also be a corporate culture or a set of incentives. And this is something with the insurance company that I was very aware of, that each piece on its own made perfect sense. It's a private company, needs to make money, it has interests, it pushes towards profit and away from loss. All these things are entirely naturally creates pressures on management to make quotas, and the management pressures the people on the front line, and they set up bureaucracies in a certain way, and they make money, and their shareholders are happy, and everyone gets bonuses. And in the midst of all of that, there is pain and sorrow that gets inflicted to those on the wrong side of the ledger sheet. You know, even, I mean, I love trivial examples. There are big examples. War, you know, propaganda and disinformation. These are big things. They're part of the same kinds of structures. But I go to the trivial ones because they're a little lighter to talk about. You know how on your phone you might be scrolling through a social media of your choice, and then it's hard to avoid clicking on the ads? Because they're right in the place where your finger is? That's exactly on purpose. They know exactly where those ads are, and they're putting them there so that you will accidentally click them, and then they'll get a click, and then they'll get a little percentage of a cent that goes to the advertiser and so on. That's all deliberate. It's all based on the incentives of the system. And it's that kind of, where you can't point to any one person and say, you're evil. But you can point at the whole result of the system and say, this is not good for humanity. There's a big conversation right now about AI, about what artificial intelligence is going to do to our human experience and how we relate to each other. AI is coming out on the social media, on the internet. We are encountering content right now produced by machine learning. And what is that doing to us, and what is that going to do to us? And so nobody in the system that is developing AI, no one person is evil at all. And yet the system takes this demonic shape and corrupts and destroys the children of God. For me, these are the demonic powers. Now, these powers are everywhere. In the same way that if you were in first century Palestine, you'd say demons are everywhere. Yes, they are. Now, does Jesus destroy the demons? No, he does not. He frees people from them. The demons go somewhere else, and they hurt other people, you know. But what Jesus has done is saying, I'm going to free you from this demon. And so when we think of our call as the body of Christ, who are commissioned with this ministry to heal the sick and cast out demons, we have to release ourselves from the pressure of trying to destroy all the demons of society. Can't do it. The demons are going to emerge again. We smash them in one place, they're going to pop up somewhere else. This is the great story of Christendom. When all of society became Christian, all the problems were going to go away because we're all Christians now. Isn't that great? And all the problems just found new ways to manifest. We still had greed and power and violence and all the stuff that humanity does. And now it's within Christianity because the demons find a way. And so the mission of the church is to cast them out, to free people from them. This is what we do when we baptize. We say we are helping you choose a new path to be free of the demonic powers. And if you can't save everyone, you can at least work on your own salvation in fear and trembling. Yes, you can. So our mission in as the body of Christ, carrying forward this mission of casting out demons, the thing that I need help with, which is why I share it with you, what I find helpful is that limitation of scope. I can't do everything about everything. But if you're in front of me and you're struggling with a demon and I can help you with that, that's all I need to do in order to participate in the ministry of Christ, which has been entrusted in part to me. And that's what all of us as baptized Christians do, as individuals, but also as a community of faith. This small group of people are oriented around the discipleship of Jesus, which involves the healing of the sick and the casting out of demons. And so we help each other with that, and we help our friends and neighbors in the broader community with that. At some level, that lies behind our you know, our common sense, self-evident good works like the soup kitchen, where hunger is a demon, precarity is a demon. And so we do what we can. We can't fix homelessness in Vernon, but we can relieve the impact of the demon, and we can have this moment where you are free. For this moment, the demon is not going to have a hold on you. Two other little points that come out of the other readings. And one of them has flown out of my head, so hopefully by the time I say the first one, the second one will come back. No guarantees. It's no note preaching. Here we go. The first one has to do with the first reading in Isaiah. Now, this is the end of... I'm sorry, I don't want to do too much Bible study. This is the end of the first Isaiah section, which is before the exile, and it's as the exile is looming. Isaiah can see it coming. In that period of time, there is despair in Israel about what God is doing with Israel. Israel is going to be going away to Babylon. We're going to be conquered by our enemies. What has God abandoned us? And the response is, have you not seen? Have you not heard? God is in charge of everything. God is bigger than this. This is part of the story, and it's a horrible part, to be sure. And yet, do not give up hope. Don't get tired, because if God is your helper, you will have more energy than a young person. Of course, now that I'm 58, that passage reads differently. You know, young people will grow faint. No, they don't. Yes, they will. And even that standard is lower than the hope that we can carry as people of God. And so when we look at the demons that seem so big and seem so much bigger than us, and what can one person do against greed and corruption and late-stage capitalism and war in Ukraine and, you know, climate change, list all the lists of the demons that are corrupting and destroying us right now, what can one person do? Well, that's not the question. Who's in charge really is the question. And that's the Isaiah message. And I'm going to have to peek at the Paul one because I can't remember. Ah. Just one note. I needed one note. I know. I'm sorry to fail you so miserably. I have become all things to all people so that I might in all ways save some. And again, that reinforces that containment of what the obligation is. We're not, Paul doesn't need to save everyone. He needs to be on the job at all times, in all ways. But in order not to put any barriers for the salvation of whoever it might be that is receptive to the message, and so it is for evangelism, so it is for our ministry of healing the sick and casting out demons, we have to be on that program all the time to everyone who is in front of us. And not all of them will pick it up, but some of them might. And some of them might because of us who are on this path. Thanks be to God. Amen.